I realised that you lot don't say it like we call them gangs, and you say something becoming with a P.
So I think it's a different thing.
Paramilitaries.
Paramilitaries.
Paramilitary.
Oh, paramilitary.
That's what
that is. Strange name.
Hi everyone. That was just a preview of what's coming up. As you can probably tell, we learned a lot. Welcome to our second podcast. My name is Ada and I'm your host. For this episode, Slough's young people, represented by volunteers from Exarth, met young people from Northern Ireland.
We are Exarth.
We are young people making a difference.
We volunteer to make our community a better place.
We deliver training in schools to give young people skills and to make our community a more safer and cohesive place.
We interview older people to understand their journeys and increase understanding between our communities.
We use rap and poetry to express ourselves and to bring together the community.
We run youth cafes in the evenings to reach the younger generation.
We lead sessions for our peers that will support them to have a better future.
We run a group for young girls to inspire the next generation of young women.
We give young people the opportunity to put forward their views to the people who impact their lives.
We give our time to help people in the environment.
We run football coaching and cohesion is our goal.
We developed new ideas to tackle the problems our community faced.
We believe in working together as one.
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 One of the most exciting developments to take place in recent years is our relationship with Northern Ireland. From time to time, groups from there visit us here at Exarth. We've even sent a group the other way to Northern Ireland. This time, our Northern Irish friends were from Long Tower Youth Club and Our Streets Project in Derry, Londonderry. As part of the last group's visit, we decided to record a podcast. On the day itself, our guests from Northern Ireland and the young people from Exarth were divided into four groups, and these groups did a range of activities together, including a recorded conversation. Living in Slough, we're not too familiar with the tensions that have impacted so much on Northern Ireland, but it wasn't too long before we were given an introduction.
Personally, I don't think there's a difference between anybody, but from where we come from, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because of Catholics and Protestants,
yeah.
We're very close, mm-hmm. And it was 2 years ago, there was riots that broke out,
yeah,
and it lasted for a month and a half, and it's just been a struggle ever since, trying to meet up in different things.
And like some people's like afraid to come to our community, and are they like the shootings, and like all different stuff, it's just like bad example for the area of like tourists, and like our people like using to come in.
One of the things we were quite interested in was how Protestants and Catholics, both being white, could tell each other apart. This is what we learnt.
They take up a pawn and you take up a pawn.
What different brands do you have? Or?
It's like football kits, then we would just sort out.
So there's like Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland, they would support Northern Ireland, we would support the Republic.
Republic.
Wow. That is very funny. But you can get some Protestants that aren't like as bad. Like they don't like be like I like the Union Jack, like what do you like? Like we just like get people that's happy who they are, they don't care about religion.
Do you think like religion is a massive factor in your lives?
It's not a massive thing in my life, it's like I don't care about religion. Like I like be friends with everyone, like I don't religion isn't a big thing in part of my life.
Some of us took a while to catch on about which faith or community our visitors identified with. We were also keen to unpick some of the differences between Catholics and Protestants.
Yeah. I have a question.
Okay, okay.
Are you guys Catholic or Protestant?
Catholic.
Do you guys get along well with Protestants?
I don't have any powerful friends.
Do you have
Protestant
friends?
The city side and water side. The water sides. More or less Protestant. Or city side, more or less Catholic.
What's the difference between Catholics and Protestants?
Protestants like
the
queen in the middle.
The queen.
No,
more of a
legend. No, Catholics believe that Mary was a virgin. Protestants don't.
Mm-hmm. That's the only difference within the Catholics and Protestants.
But not all
Catholics obviously believe that, because you have to be a practicing Catholic to believe it. And the same as Protestants, you have to be a practicing Protestant. They believe in it. So, like, a lot of the young people that we work with don't actually, just because they identify as a Catholic, doesn't mean they believe in the religious side of it. It's just that having that identity of being a Catholic, and the same as a Protestant, having that identity and that sense of belonging in their own community is what they identify as. That's only the main difference. But
having a better understanding of the communities, here we join a group talking about something we have never heard of before, paramilitaries. Also, Slough's young people share their views about gangs and knife crime.
You have gangs?
Paramilitaries.
What do you call them?
Paramilitaries.
Sorry.
For what?
Paramilitaries. Explain that.
Yeah.
They're the army.
They're the army?
So they're not the army, like. It's like an old word for
them. But is it young people? Or is it like...
Well, it can range from like different ages, like young people, the old people.
And like, what does it do?
They can like recruit them from a young age, from like teenage age.
Yeah.
They're not legal. The army's legal and all that. They're an illegal group. They roam morals, their own values, and they have their own, what they're fighting for, and their own. They have weapons. They have masks over their fists. So when they come out to the communities, they come out to shoot people. Normally it's in the legs. So normally it's for...
Say if there's like drug dealers or...
There's maybe drugs going around. There's issues they need dealt with. They take the law into their own hands. And they go and address it. So people will come to them. They're often... Nobody knows who they are. Some people do obviously know who they are. If it's in Stalker and your family. So that's what we have.
So we just know them as gangs.
I think more recently
within Slough, it's become much more worse. But it's just more, we have more knife crime.
Oh yeah.
Which is actually one of the questions I have here, but we can just talk about it more generically with weapons rather than just knife crime.
So a lot of people, everyone in Slough will know that a knife crime has increased. It's like boys carrying it for protection because it has become a rise since 2011. But It's just become now, it's more of a like a, oh, I need it for protection, and then it slips up and something grave happens, and then like something really bad, like we've had a lot of deaths lately, like one in our parks and our local areas, and it's affecting a lot of people. But it's something you don't know what to say to, but it's, knife crime is really common. But as you said in your gang culture, I don't know how to pronounce the word, I'm so sorry, they carry weapons, but here people carry
knives,
and it's a follow-up from like drug dealing and like gangs, and they want to be known and have this reputation and the status that, oh, I have this and I know this person, so if you mess up with that person, I'm gonna do this to you. So it is to the idea of trying to create fear, but then it's always the wrong people who get affected, and it's just mad.
And it has led to quite a lot of deaths.
Well, just on that note, recently, I know because we're reading the Daily Mail and a lot of the newspapers and stuff, that's all you see popping up is Lawful is London or blah blah. It's always knife crime. So, like, even when we were coming over, it was about, like, you know, our young people, they'll probably not say it, but they were saying, like, are we safe? Is it good? Are we,
you're safe.
But I'm sure a lot of people, when they come to Derry and they hear of our backstory and what everything, they feel like, are we safe when we come to our communities and all? And it's just that, as you say, the stereotype, I don't know what Jason's funny had on any day.
Not that long ago, there was a girl shot dead. Just from a read of. Because of riots.
Because of riots? See, now in Slough, that's something different because nobody will come for you just because you're out and about. Like, okay, maybe once in a while it will be wrong place, wrong time, but mostly it will be, I'm coming for you because you've done something. It will never be, because you're there, I'm coming for you.
Well, see, they didn't go after her. They went to shoot, like, the police or something, I think. She was a news reporter
over there, and she was out because of the riot, and she was actually my friend's auntie, so it sort of hit her hard, but it was literally just her standing in the wrong place.
Do you remember that whole thing about acid attacks as well? That was
we did have a fight, but now it's got much more sentencing, so I don't know if it still exists, but I feel like with the...
So there's a lot of heightened tension within our communities between Catholics and Protestants. We love an interface, so it's very... So like days that whenever, like the, for example, the 12th of July or the 15th of August, when the Protestants go to merch, the Orange Men on merch and things, that can bring a lot of tension to the communities. So often we have young people from our side and their side that'll go up to the Interfist and throw petrol bombs. That brings the police in, which then starts the whole riot. So that's where the tension comes from within the likes of ours in the summertime. As far as the police goes, then that's another issue in itself. A lot of our communities have a big, and these paramilitary groups have a lot. They don't like the police coming in, the police force in general, and the police coming into our communities, and they don't agree with anything about the police. So they're very anti-police and the police in our communities. They don't want the police in, police in our communities at all. So that's a big thing for where we're from. And then that's why you would have a lot of rebellion and a lot of paramilitary attacks and coming out. And they're very, so if police come in, they do house arrests or house searches. Mm-hmm. They look for drugs. They look for we have a lot of hoax bombs, which means if there's a hoax bomb, the whole place gets evacuated. So there's destruction. People's left out of their homes. Children can't get to school. People can't get to work, and they be out for hours and hours and hours and hours. So the whole day is disrupted, which then leads to more anti-social behaviour, more anti-violence. And then the likes of paramilitaries then.
It was surprising how much their paramilitaries and our gangs had in common. Both cause fear, both are high profile, both are in tension with the police, both use violence, but not at random, and apart from the odd wrong time, wrong place, they're usually using violence in a very targeted way. We started talking about what time we have to be home by and ended up in a similar place with another group.
Talking of like going out late, what's the latest like you would stay out?
Right. Whatever time
you
want, just...
Like in summer, you get to do like 1, 2, and then like...
Or just don't go by the house.
And then, but like in weekdays, like school days, we'd be on around 12 or 11. Yeah. Like we would walk, like me and her would walk to the shop at like 12 o'clock, like in, not a fear, like just down the street.
That's so cool.
What, at night?
I can't do that.
I'm not allowed to go out the
house.
Like,
I can't do that. Like, we have no fear. Like, if I was like living here, like where you are, we're like stabbing them, I have a biggest fear, like I would walk my own. Like, I could walk to a shop at 12 o'clock at night, my home, no fear. Like,
that is so
here,
cool.
Like, here, I'd be terrified. Like, I wouldn't walk myself. I'd have someone with me.
But that, we were talking about this earlier, actually. It's different. What you lot have read online about what's happening here, it has created that fear. Like, you lot have obviously read about the stabbings that have happened.
No, I'm terrified. Like, I am.
And but we were also talking about the riots. And, like, we said, like, me and Sana were saying that we'd be scared to come to Derry and, like, walk out on our own. Because of like the riots that have happened or stuff like that, so it's sort of just the things that you hear. Like unless you, like I, yeah, unless. But we said the fact that what I said this is, especially in Slough, nobody's gonna come after you unless you've done something.
It's the same as back where we are too. We've got paramilitaries and people who are actually out.
Drug dealing,
and
selling to young people, doing like things they shouldn't be doing, like burning cars. Hijacking people's houses, stealing people, robbing shops.
It was clear our friends from Northern Ireland were coming from a community far less diverse than Slough. Here's one of the youth workers from Northern Ireland explaining how different it is.
We don't have different religions. Where we're from, we just have
two
Catholics and Protestants. And that's it. We wouldn't have a whole lot of different...
Like, very rare
that you would see a Muslim or anybody else and apart from white Irish. So, but their religions in Ireland is a bit different from you. They don't have a whole range of religions. They just have the Catholics and the Protestants.
Having far fewer black or Asian people in their community meant that they had loads of questions for us about our faiths and ethnicities, and in particular the hijab, and my Afro hair and extensions.
Whenever you're going to leave bed and all stuff?
Oh, no. Bed, shower, and at home, you never catch me in my hijab.
See, like...
Unless if my uncle's coming, then...
See if you were, like, the... Just saying this in general, but see if you were, like, having a sleepover or something with any of your friends, like, would you still wear it?
Sleepover,
like girls are staying at like your friend's house or something. Like, would you still work there?
If I stay at my friend's house and they have a brother or a dad that walks into the room, then definitely my hood would be up. Like, I'd wear a hoodie and put my hood up.
So, if
my head and my neck has to be covered at all times. In the Quran, it says that
when we cover up, the only person that can see our like normal face, like our hair, is our dad, our brother, and our dad's brother. They're like our direct only allowed.
And obviously females. Any female can
and
see
us. Any female can see us. For example, if I was to take off my hijab right now and do my hair, I'd have to ask all the boys in the room to leave.
But all of you
But you lot can see. Does that make sense?
And she has got hair underneath there.
Yeah, I'm not bald.
Just to let you lot all know.
I'm not bald.
Yeah, personally, I really like wearing the scarf. Like, as you said, without the hijab, I feel naked.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really uncomfortable. But the thing is, I chose to wear it myself because, yes, like, everyone else was wearing it and I just wanted to be, like, part of it. But as I've grown older, it's actually, like, it's connected, like, it's like a connection between me and God because it's something, like, I'm respecting Him, as in, like, covering myself up and dressing more skin and stuff. So, yeah.
So some days you quite just want to take it off?
No, not really, because I'm so used to it. I don't take it off.
What about when it's
sunny? In the heat, in the sunshine? Does it be warm?
Yeah, it's a bit warm, but I can manage.
Yeah, in the heat, yeah. You will never catch me in a black hijab. I'm someone who wear black hijab all the time. Like, just today, I decided to wear grey hijab, but I'd always be in a black hijab. And then in the summer, my mum's just like, no black hijabs, it has to be coloured. Like, that's the only time I wear. Because wearing black, because it attracts heat. Okay. I'm just like, I can't, it gets too hot. But then, it's part of, like, who you are, innit?
Do you think it's weird, like, saying I'll swing my cup and, like, all our hair?
No. What?
Do we find it weird, like, do you find it weird that they've got their hair out and makeup on?
No. Oh no, I don't care, trust me. I've got so many friends who are like that. My friends come to me and be like, oh, does my face and my hair look... Like, some of my friends ask me, like, does my hair look okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine, it's Gucci.
I get her to do my hair.
Yeah. In lessons, we're sitting there just doing them on her.
What's your hair like?
My hair is, it's like thick and black and long. I need to chop it off, but yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Do you let it grow or?
Yeah, I let it grow.
It comes up to about here.
Right now.
I go to the part like my hairdresser to get a cut, but she has to be a female, and there can't be males in the shop.
Do you have to tailor that before you go?
Oh no, usually my main hairdresser is like a girl's only hair.
Mm. A lot of them in Slough have different kind of areas, don't they? Yeah. So people that walk past can't necessarily see you having your hair cut, they might just do it in a different part of
Slough. And the windows in the hairdresser shop are like tinted so no one can see, and usually she just covers it, but yeah.
And a lot of you ask me about hair. It was you. No, it's not all my real hair. It's called extensions, thank you. And the reason I said no to touching it, I'm so funny. Ask Sana.
She does not.
I don't know, I think it's just a culture thing. Ever since I was younger, I did not let anybody touch my hair. Like, not even my mum touches my hair.
Like, even if I tap her head, she'll, like, have a fit on me, so it's, like, out of bounds.
I can go the whole day without speaking to Sana.
Like, I'm with her every day, and imagine, just because I touched her head, she'll scream at me.
I can go, like, the whole day without speaking to her, she's touching her head. So I'm sorry if I scream at
We also spoke with our guests about attitudes to health. It seems it's not just Slough's young people that aren't living their healthiest lives. We talked about mental health and how, sadly, suicide is a common occurrence.
What age, like, do people start smoking? Because I know we don't... No, well, we don't.
Like, I don't smoke.
12.
Yeah, 12. Like, I don't smoke.
11 and 12.
Like, Osprey don't smoke, but it's, like, younger ones. Like, if you went to, like, Derry, there's a main street called Fuller Street, and that's where, like, all young ones hang around, and they're all smoking, drinking.
Drugs.
Where did they get all this from?
Yeah, how did they get...
Their mommies and daddies, so they don't care.
Yeah, they probably just did it up. It's a type of people.
Like, because, like, our youth group too, like, they go around, like, the streets at, like, night time, they, like, try and make sure that there's no fights between young ones drinking, smoking, no one gets, like, injured. Because, like, there's a lot of suicidal too, and, like, their age, like, the bridges are so bad. Like, that's where everyone just goes, the bridge, just for help, and that's...
Do you think suicide is, like, your biggest mental health problem?
Suicide?
Possibly not, yeah.
And is it always by jumping off this one bridge?
They jump off a bridge or either hanging themselves?
Like, the bridges, that's the last thing I'm doing, is jumping that far, because it can take up to 6 weeks for your family to find your body.
That's the longest. The shortest. It has took to find someone's body in the river.
6 weeks.
6 weeks to find a body?
Because like our, it's called the River Foyle, and it leads out to the Atlantic Ocean. So it just depends if it you can come.
The current.
Like that, crazy. You might not be able to find you, but you could. It just depends on your body if it comes up back up or not.
On that topic, do you think that there is enough support available for people?
There is. Youth work wise, there is. Social work, there is. But it's just people that are scared and they're afraid to talk. Mm. You know what I mean? That's why they're going to the bridges. That's why they're hanging themselves.
Is it like usually young people? Like young, school age young people?
Younger ones.
So do you think like, do you have, in, I know in some schools and stuff, we have like peer mentors who are trained. Do you guys have that in our school? Do they work?
We have like school counsellors.
Yeah.
We've got careers advisors. You can talk to them about anything. And it's just...
But you don't have young people trained to like talk to younger other people who are...
No, we don't have younger, like the same age. And that's something that should be happening. Yeah. Because of what's happening now, I think people are afraid to talk to people that are older than them.
Yeah.
But they feel safer, like sitting in a group and talking.
Because like Northern Ireland, between Derry and Belfast, is the worst with mental health. Like, it's shocking.
It's crazy.
Why do you think people are so scared to talk out though?
I think it's just because, just in case they're getting slagged, or just in case something happens and then word gets spread around about what they're feeling and how they feel. I feel that not only for female, but I feel that it's a big thing for male as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of hard to speak out and then think then that everybody's talking about you and then you're just feeling...
One of the clear things we had in common, young people from both groups, is how much we value youth work and the difference it makes to young people's lives.
So, for the Northern Irish people, so, and this is also X-Half for us and the Irish, but if your youth clubs didn't exist, what do you think would have happened?
I think like more people involved in issues of behaviour, mm-hmm. and there'd probably be more...
The man at the towns in the first of the drugs.
I think
in particular, I think young people feel more vulnerable to joining or, as you say, getting into drugs, getting into, you know, it would be a more easier choice.
Probably be more of a risk of people getting pulled into like the paramilitary groups as well.
Yeah.
If there weren't for the youth clubs, so people would be out on the streets.
In response to Peter's question, if IGSOT wasn't here, I don't think that, or other youth clubs, not just IGSOT, I don't think that many people would have like the opportunity to learn about things like drugs and mental health and stuff and have to, like...
Yeah, that's very true.
Not like prevent them, but like work with them kind of thing.
That brings us to the end of our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned from it. We learned so much from our guests from Derry. Most of the people you heard are roughly the same age and our realities are so different, yet we have so much in common. We hope the tensions ease for our friends in Northern Ireland and that everyone stays safe. Thanks for listening.